The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother Mean Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
And my name is Griffin McElroy, the youngest of the three brothers.
The lips, the teeth,
the lips, tip of the tongue. The teeps of the tea.
I'm so excited to be here because I've been dying to ask somebody a question about Game of Thrones, and I think you guys watched it, right?
Actually, you know, I'm very vocal on Facebook about how I don't watch it because of, I don't go so much for fantasy except for the fantasies of babes I have when I lift so much weights at the gym that I fall asleep.
You can ask me any question, Travis, and the answer is going to be, we the fans have had enough.
Mm. Okay, well, I stopped watching about, I think it was like halfway through season three.
Seasons too much, according to we the fans.
So I need you to catch me up on what happened, but I don't want you to spoil anything for anybody who is going to watch it. So if you could just get me from about the middle of season three to the end of the series without spoiling anything for the people at home, that would be
just great. Sort of broad strokes.
Yeah, like, just broad stroke
general,
it for me.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this much, Trav.
Uh-huh.
For A Song of Ice and Fire, there sure wasn't very much singing being done.
Okay, that's one. I'll slow down. I have to write it down.
There were like 80 episodes or something in this piece of shit, and as far as I can remember, there was only like one scene with singing in it. So, okay. George, don't call it what you're going to call it.
I would disagree with you there because you didn't call it Songs of Ice and Fire. You said there was one scene with singing.
Fuck, you're right. Fuck, you got me.
All right, idiots. Here's the thing. Ed Sheeran in it.
And he didn't sing, which is like his whole thing.
Okay. Drummer from Coldplay in it.
He was in it?
Sigur Rós from Friends?
Uh-huh.
He's in it.
Ross from Friends is in it?
Sigur Rós from Friends.
Are these problems for you, Justin? I've sort of lost the plot on where you're
Chris Stapleton is a country singer. He in it.
Okay.
Is that making you mad, though?
I do not like
Aaron Rodgers in it.
So we the fans, do we like that or do we not like that?
We the fans are fed up and we've had enough. This is my petition. It's an audio petition. Now, several hundred episodes in the making, it is an audio petition that I am submitting for Game of Thrones.
To what?
Do it again.
To do the whole show again.
Do it again. Like a reboot or just start all over?
Yes, start all over with a fresh take. Some of the things will be the same. The cool shit.
Okay, so keep the good. Wait, keep
if you
cool
remember,
stuff.
If you remember during my extensive sardonic recap podcast, Lame of Thrones, and then in every episode in the, I called it the roundup at the end of every episode, I'm like, okay, there was one fucking cool shit thing.
Yeah,
those are the things that should remain the same. All other things should change.
Yeah, there were like three times throughout the series where a dude's skull just got fully fucking crushed by a big man's hands. So cut that shit together. That's the series for
all the now, skull Justin, crushing.
As I said earlier, I've been out of touch with the fans for a while now.
Yeah, the fans miss you, by the way.
Oh, I'll come back. Is it that you, the fans, want it to be sillier or?
Hell yeah. And fucking sexier more ads. That's the main fucking problem. I can't even get up to use this shitter because this shit doesn't take a break.
Oh, I thought you meant like native advertising. Like,
both, obviously.
Well, okay. Let me just say.
I love these dragons as much as I love flaming hot Cheetos.
They for sure already have the native advertising thing covered in real as Game of Thrones. So I'll delete that joke. It's circle gets the square. It's a little too on the nose for my tastes.
What do you mean?
There's a scene in Game of Thrones where they're driving a Ford truck across the like icy wasteland.
Well, no, there's just like, you know, the Starbucks cup was very
funny.
It
wasn't from Starbucks. We the fans thought it was from Starbucks, and then we the fans learned it's from a local coffee shop. And also, my queen, Dani, doesn't drink it. She drinks herbal tea. She gets to be in the reboot, but okay. Doing more cool shit. And she didn't have no powers. She couldn't get burned up by dragons, and she had dragons, and that's good.
Yeah,
but she's going to have powers in the new one.
Badass. Which ones? Badass, dude.
Fucking lasers, invis. Psychic blasts, nice. Plasma blades.
Yes.
All of them, dude. She's got all the powers. She can give the powers to other people, healing
fuck
factor.
Yeah. All right, let's put some ink on the fucking page now, okay? Because episode one, these two brother sister, they boinking big time.
I would change that, by the way. I would make them not related.
Yeah, that shit nasty. Okay. Get that shit right out. Note.
But right. I think it would be a lot more approachable if they were just like friends who were boning.
It was so fucking gross that the people, and so lazy and sloppy that the people what done wrote the book, George, I think the guy's name is, yeah. He didn't even realize that the same people he had screwing when the little boy went to the window to enjoy the same people he had screwing were also the brother and sister from earlier. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that George? Was just sloppy writing.
My sympathies to the creators of the TV show because they had to abide by that garbage.
Yeah.
It's like so embarrassing.
I would also, in order, if I were going to rewrite the show, along with making it sillier, I would make all the sex that happens in it way more consensual.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that.
Fucking badass. Yeah, that part's badass. Yeah. So they're boinking on this tower, right? And they're boinking and they're not related. They're just like friends.
Yes.
But they shouldn't be boinking because they have other things going on.
They're late for a dinner date and they're boinking and people are waiting for them because they were supposed to meet a couple.
There.
Yeah.
So the boy grappling hooks up the tower and gets up in the window and is enjoying it.
Whoa.
He's like, cool. I'm a little boy. I've never seen this. And then one of the couple goes over and kicks the boy so hard he goes flying out of the tower.
Keep that for sure.
And for that scene, we're actually going to just use the 300 kick. Because they do in 300. So we'll just like literally take that footage.
Every character in the first episode, every character is given a coin.
Yes.
And they can use the coin 8 times to do to do a 300 kick.
Yes.
And they get no more.
Yeah.
Well, we have to make those 8 kicks for the entirety of the series.
Yeah.
And exactly. They can trade them to each other for goods and services.
They can trade them to each other like in John Wick. They can trade them. If you use up all your Spartan kicks, maybe you could babysit for your nephew and he'll give you one of his Spartan kicks. But those are the rules.
I have one other small change.
Well, can I the boy goes falling and then you're like, oh no, he's dead. But then he comes up, he's on the roof of the DeLorean. Pretty badass. Yeah.
I love that.
Fuck, I was going to say Batman, but maybe Batman's driving the DeLorean.
Yeah, with my queen and our queen, the fans' queen. Daenerys Tyrgan.
Yes. And also, I don't know, maybe Captain America's there? Maybe.
Stop it. Now you're making jokes. Now you're making jokes at me.
Okay, let's just go back to where Batman was driving the DeLorean, and he pulls up, and Bran, I think that's the name of the kid, Bran Flakes opens the door of the DeLorean. But this time he doesn't hit, what's-his-face in the face. Like, he just is like, hey, you accidentally kicked me off the tower. I could have died.
Yeah, that was. I was just enjoying.
God, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. You know how I get when I boink.
Yeah, when I boink, I'm just flailing everywhere, legs akimbo.
They waited a really long time to put dragons in it, so I'm gonna have dragons in it from the beginning. Except they can talk and use ice lances.
Ooh, cool. Yeah, and I think there's only like 3 dragons. I would make there be like 500, 600, maybe 500, maybe more.
600 dragons, and they reproduce at an uncontrollable rate.
Yes.
All the dragons are always pregnant in this one.
Yeah.
And they have to be hunted to keep the population down.
And I'd like to introduce a thing where in the big throne room in the Red Keep, which we're going to find a way cooler name for, or something like Blood Castle, Storm Mountain.
Battle Geddon.
Okay, the castle's called Battle Geddon. And then in the throne room, there's going to be like 16 thrones. And we'll have the cool, I guess we'll have the sword one, but that shit's played. But they'll be on caster wheels, and the king, whatever, gets to like push them, and whoever wants to fight him can like push the, and then if your throne gets knocked over or falls down the stairs, then it's out.
Oh, I like that.
I love
maybe,
that.
Maybe we make the throne a little more comfortable.
There will be a plush throne for sensitive bottoms.
I think, and this is a little note, but I'd have the snake man beat the big rock man in that one fight. I didn't like that the snake man lost to the big rock
but
man.
But Travis' head got crushed in such a cool way. That's the one badass thing about this fucking show, dude.
Fucking cool thing that we will have.
Oh, no, you're right.
This one's got 16 thrones, but at the beginning, there's 17 people. Mm. And then after every round, they remove one of the thrones.
That's an important game mechanic, yeah. And if you, again, if you fall down the stairs, and you get Arshel or out.
Sigur Rós plays, and then eventually they stop playing. It could take anywhere from a few minutes to a few hours. But when they stop playing, everybody tries to get into a throne, and then whoever doesn't have one is eliminated by blood.
Yes. I love this.
It's good, right? It's unlike, I guess we the people just need, and we the fans need, if HBO would just sign off on it or respond to our emails and tweets and Tumblrs and stuff.
Oh, sorry. One more tiny note. I was going to say more wolves, but what if they're all wolves?
What if they all have the ability? I thought...
Oh, there's a separate coin. There's a second coin.
There's a second coin. Yes, there's a second coin that allows you to transform into a werewolf 17 times.
Yes.
And you can that's all you get for the whole TV show.
Yes.
So don't burn it one as a joke unless it's going to be hysterical.
Yeah, if it's a really good joke, maybe.
If it's so funny.
Also, I would like to be a character in it. I would not like to play a character in it. Let me be clear. I, Travis McElroy, would like to be a character in it.
Joe Mangiello plays Travis McElroy in Game of Thrones 2. They back.
I want to make a cameo. I wouldn't mind squashing Ed Sheeran's melon.
Hey, listen to this. Hey, listen to this. Here's your poster right here. Here's the poster. There's 500 to 600 dragons. Mm. Ed Sheeran, Sigur Rós, Aaron Rodgers, all in armor, loving it. The one guy is beating the other guy. Mm. But on the other side of the poster, it goes the way it did originally. So both of those are depicted.
Oh, it's just side by side?
In the series, both outcomes are depicted. Cool. Choose your own adventure. Cool. Yeah, no, both of them happen.
It's a little bit for everyone.
Yeah, both of them happen in it, and they all win.
Shit.
And everybody wins in this one. And then at the bottom of the poster, it says, let the games begin.
...
Yes.
Put it
it's
in the
good,
hole.
Right? Let the games begin. ...
Yes.
Fuck.
Yes.
It's back.
Let's do a question.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Griffin. I'm sorry I got a little lost. I'm in the doctor's office waiting room. They just called my name, but someone else got up and went back. Oh, man. I can't imagine that. Now it's been 20 minutes, and I'm the only one left in the waiting room except an old woman who was parked by the nurse's door to yell at everyone who goes in before her, you don't look sick. Do I go tell them that they made a mistake? What if they're just busy? How long do I wait before I become the same as this old woman? I live here now, I suppose. That's from Darned in Denver.
This feels like a piece of paper you find crammed between two stones in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
That's so hard because... It's really hard living in a society. We can all accept that. It's a common theme of our program. But it's especially hard when it very clearly broke down on everyone.
Yes.
We can all agree that it broke down. And I don't know how you get out of that. It's hard to admit to another person in the machine, like, hey, the machine's broke, and there's no recompense for that. There's no way out of it.
This fear that I will infer here that you're feeling, because I have felt this many times, this fear of like walking up and say, oh, I think there's been a mistake. I think I was, and they're like, no, there's no mistake. You'll be back soon. Just sit back down.
It's like 100%. Why? Oh God, there's no doubt in my mind that is 100% verbatim tone and everything. That would sound like my brother. That's how sure I am that that is the exact response you would get.
Just sit down. We're going to call you in a minute. And you're like, oh no, I have to go.
Because it's the doctor, right? If the doctor's like, we just let anybody back there, no matter what name we call, whatever, it's all bullshit. Like, the next, like, what else are they making up, right? What else are they just, like, pulling out of their asses?
Because you would think that if they called your name, if it was, like, you know, Dan, and somebody else went back, and they weren't Dan, that that mistake would be found out pretty quickly.
Are they getting all your fungus medicine? What if there's none left for you?
Because they're eating it for fuel.
They're eating all your fungus medicine and smuggling it out in their bellies.
Now, let me say this.
The other side of this, too, is also bonkers that if someone calls Dan and someone's like, well, I'm Jim, but yeah, you know what? I'm going.
I'm Jim, but I'm in a hurry. I'm Jim in a hurry.
Flip side, there are worse places to live now. There are worse places to live. If you have a whoopsie uh-oh, you're very close to somebody who can patch that right up for you, I hope.
And all the highlights magazines you can
read. All the highlights you can read. There's the goldfish, probably. And then you have all those beads that you can push around on the little pipes. Gosh, those are freaking fun.
The hospital Sid works at has killer bacon.
Yeah. And apparently, you have a new friend in a, sounds like a very judgmental old woman.
Yeah, let's get there. Let's get there. Let's get to her.
Yeah, okay,
what is she doing?
That.
Yeah.
You don't look sick.
That sucks.
Well, it might be a compliment. It might be like, hey, I want you to know you probably feel really bad right now. And oh, thank God you came in to take care of yourself. I appreciate it. I'm sure all your loved ones appreciate it. I want you to know, in case you were worried about it, you don't look sick.
You're not showing it.
You look great. You look great. I hope you get better, because I understand that sometimes illness is invisible. And I'm glad you've taken care of yourself. This old woman is great.
Yeah, she's good. I'm with Trav. This one kicks ass.
Did you think that maybe she was a bad egg maybe for a little bit? When you originally thought about it wrong,
yeah.
Did you think that maybe she was kind of a bad egg?
Yeah, like the pigeon lady in Home Alone 2.
You can't just start talking about Home Alone.
But I'm just because Kevin first sees her, he's like, oh no, she's a badin. But then by the end, it's like, oh no, she's actually very sweet.
Right. At the end, when she kills two men by throwing birdseed at how about a question from Yahoo?
I'd love that, Griff.
Here's one sent in by Graham Roebuck. Thanks, Graham. It's Yahoo Answers user Sebastian. Sebastian asks, how to make boiled eggs smell bad quickly for school?
Huh.
I have to take care of a boiled egg for a week, and I broke it. So now I'm trying to make another one, and it needs to smell bad so it's more believable.
Why?
For school.
No, I understand. For school. But is the question asker saying, because I've had it for a week, it should smell like a week-old boiled egg?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Trav.
Yes, okay. Travis.
I'm just wanting to make sure.
I didn't even think that part was particularly complex or nuanced.
So...
That would imply that this question asker is afraid that when they turn in this fake boiled egg, this faux boiled egg, that the teacher is going to smell it.
Yeah, your teacher is going to get that egg and be like, oh, that's fine. You can put it in the trash. Yeah. Good work keeping it not cracked.
Unless the teacher is a nasty.
Oh.
Give me that stink. Would you name your son? Yeah, it's Kenneth. Give me that stink, Kenneth.
Give me that stinky egg.
This one doesn't stink at all. No points.
You know, now that Griffin said it, I cannot think of another reason that a teacher would think assigning you to take care of an egg for a week is anything.
Yeah, you can bury that shit in a hole in your yard and then dig him up 1 week later. Here he is, safe and sound probably.
Yeah,
I had to do it.
Oh, yes, but what did it prove, Justin?
It proved that I was ready to be a father. It is not. Can I say that is the object of the lesson, right? It's hard to be a parent. Here's an egg to take care of. Can you imagine how hard this would be? One of the two things is going to happen. One is the kid's going to do a pretty good job and be like, I'm ready to be a dad. I'm a very responsible 15-year-old. That egg looks beautiful. I'm ready to be a dad. That's one option. The other one is the other problem with this is it is nothing like that. No. It's nothing like it.
Because
it's
nothing I can like take it. An egg home and put it in my sock drawer, grab it a week later, and turn it in and be like, yeah, I took it everywhere, took care of it. But I can't do that with BB.
Can't
do it. Well, there's on the inverse, you could have a kid who drops their boiled egg and it explodes when it hits the ground. And then, you know, a few years later, somebody's like, you ever think about having kids? And it's like, well, no, because I know if I did have one, I would drop it. It would explode as soon as it hit the ground. So
maybe if a kid wouldn't explode, we probably shouldn't drop them.
Maybe taking care of an egg is harder than taking care of a baby.
Yep.
Okay, because babies can recover from a drop or two.
Yeah. I'm saying my baby is surprisingly tougher than an egg.
There is also the problem of, like, if you get really hungry while you're watching your child, it's probably not going to occur to you to scarf it.
Yes.
It probably won't think to scarf the child.
And if you do, you face way stronger punishment than just, quite like, bad. An F.
So I guess while you're handing it to him, do a quick burp or fart right on it.
Here's what I would do. I would put it in vinegar overnight. The shell will, the acid of the vinegar is going to break down some of the shell. That's why we use vinegar when we're helping to color eggs, because they break down some of the proteins of the shell. So put it into vinegar. It's going to break down some of the shell, and it's going to absorb some of that vinegar smell, and it's going to have a real gnarly stink on it, like a real rough stink.
Are you worried that might go the other way, though, that when you try and, like, hey, I'm glad you, I guess, kept your baby alive, quote-unquote, but also, why your baby stink so bad?
Yeah.
If you have a stinky egg, that's out of your control.
That's true. Yeah. Take it up with the chicken, my man. I don't know what to tell you.
Ask the chicken stinky ass why it makes such bad eggs.
I'm just playing with the cards I was dealt, Chief.
Yep. This is the chicken's ass, not mine. It's your nasty assignment, Devin.
I'll see you Fortnite later.
Please, it's Mr. Pearson. I will see you on Fortnite later, but please, it is Mr. Pearson at school. Fuck off, Devin.
Okay.
You're the boss.
Another option is you can rub the egg up against your mama's feet. you just got scorch mode. Boom.
About 3 years ago, a colleague and I created a presentation for some high school students on behalf of the college where I work. The presentation involved handing out little pieces of dark chocolate.
Nice.
My then boss, who had a company credit card, bought the chocolate. We ended up with a lot left over, but I kept it in my office in case we ever did the presentation again. Well, now it's 2019, and I still have a bag of chocolate in my office that realistically is never going to be used. Neither my boss nor the other person involved in the project works here anymore, so no one else even knows they exist. The chocolates, when unwrapped, have a thin, dusty whiteness to suggest they are past their prime.
Yummy!
I eat them occasionally. Should I stop and save them for a future use that may never come? That's from the Cocoa Monster in Canada. Holy shit.
I love that. Holy when you shit. Say, should I stop? The reason is to save them for some future use and not that they're over 3 years old.
That they're molting.
Like, that white dust, before anybody tweets it, I believe it's called bloom. And it's a thing that if you see it on there, it means you're not going to be able to temper that chocolate. It's not going to melt right. It's not going to temper well. But I don't think it means that it's bad.
But I mean, also, I bet it has a bad taste of it, the flavor to it, I mean.
Yes.
It seems like that part would be bad. And it seems like, I don't know what role the chocolate played in the presentation. Again, a vital piece of context. People, you have to tell us these things. We can't just guess. But I assume the chocolate was meant to be a positive, right? The chocolate in the presentation is a net reward, I would assume, and not a negative.
Like, oh, you got it wrong. Eat this old ass dusty chocolate.
Eat this old fucking baseball card chocolate. Foul chocolate.
I do like this envisioned scenario, though, where, like, you surreptitiously scarf all the chocolate, and then, like, 6 months from now, your new boss is like, I remember when I traded over this job with the old boss, they handed me a file folder that had very important information, and on one piece of paper was just written, you know, Susan has the chocolate in case we ever do the presentation again. I know it's been 4 years, but Susan, I assume you still have that chocolate like a responsible employee? And then you have to deal with the ramifications.
I think that unless someone tells, this is for my life, unless someone specifically says to me, don't throw this away, I'm trying to throw shit away constantly all the time. I think it's completely valid, this idea that you would say, like, oh, I threw that shit away years ago. What are you talking about? That's nonsense that you think I would still have that. No way.
Yeah, your office isn't a chocolate storage company, is it?
Oh, wait.
No. Unless it is, shit. Okay, so now we have a hustle on our hands. People are going to walk in there and be impressed about how long you've kept your chocolate in there. And they're going to be like, well, now I know a safe place to keep my chocolate. And they turn it over to you. And then all of a sudden, snack fest.
And you know what? Maybe that's how you get that big raise you've been angling for, is when new boss comes in and is like, we're probably going to have to spend money to buy chocolate again because we're doing that. What a waste. And you're like, no, actually.
Step inside my fudgematorium, why don't you? My Dr. Pretorium's fudgematorium. Step inside. Lick the walls. There's Choco stains all over. I see there's Choco stains pretty much
all
over.
Give him a fun brand name.
It's pretty bad, the fudge stains.
Guys, bad news.
What?
I ate all my boss's chocolate, and I don't have the money to buy new stuff.
Oh, let's buy some chocolate. If we're going to buy chocolate with new money, let's go buy some. Bad news, criminals.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, all you criminals listening, I know you're like, I can look at McElroy.family and click on tours and see when Travis is going to be out of town. But bad news for you, because I have Ring, and it's going to let me know if you try to break into my house, and then you're going to prison.
Yeah. Also, I'm Judge Dredd. So I'll get you. Also, important to note,
and I've got a big dog and a little dog, but mostly the big dog is what matters here in this context. Because here's the thing,
I'm better than a dog. I'm just offended, because I was like, I'm Judge Dredd and I protect my brothers, and you're like, but I've got a dog.
But I have one dog. No, I'm saying in addition to brother Judge Dredd, brother Dredd, now I have a big dog. Anyways, Ring helps you stay connected to your home anywhere in the world thanks to HD video and two-way audio features on Ring devices. It's one of my favorite things. If I'm somewhere and there's like someone rings my doorbell, which is a Ring doorbell, or just like somebody walks up in my door, not only do I get a notification from my phone that says, hey, someone's at the door, but it also gives me a chance to see who came up, even if I miss the notification, even if I miss the ringing of the doorbell, and I can talk. It's a two-way communication. I can say, like, oh, you can just leave that at the door, or like, no, thank you, or whatever. It's a great way to answer the door, even when you're not at home. I'm a huge fan of it. I highly recommend it. I like I said, I have two. I have one on my front door and one on my back door.
One in his Parisian villa, and Dredd's all over that one too, so don't even fucking think about it.
Yeah, and one of my Zeppelin. And if you want to check it out, as a listener, we have a special offer for you on a Ring Starter Kit available right now with a video doorbell and motion-activated floodlight cam. The Starter Kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com. That's ring.com/mybrother. That's ring.com/mybrother.
Stitch Fix is the clothes one, and they have decided to support us again. And so I get clothes from Stitch Fix. I get lots
of
them.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
I get lots of them. They come in a box, and they have a special person who has an eye out for me. And they're
in the box.
They're in the box. They pick out my clothes, and then they ship themselves like a normal would do. And then I get the clothes and I try them on, and if I like it, then I can keep it, and they'll you know, charge me whatever for it. And if I don't like it, just put it right back in the bag and then send that back free of charge. No, it is no skin off my nose when Stitch Fix sends me the clothes. And so I think you should do it too, because I enjoy doing this a lot. Every time I get a little box, it's like a little opportunity for a fashion statement, a personal change maybe. And also, I don't do laundry that often, so it's like, yes, this will get me through Friday. So that's very cool too. So I want you to get started today at stitchfix.com/mybrother, and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all the items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/mybrother. One more time, in case you didn't pay attention just now, pay attention this time, stitchfix.com/mybrother.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks every week. Myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Y'all want a...
Hold on. Computer just being weirdly slow for a second. Okay. I think it's better now.
Yeah. I want a munch.
Squad.
I want a munch.
Squad.
There's hope for the munch squad still. I thought it was winding down. But then I remembered that, you know, it's not just about current players in the fast casual market. We got new people lining up to join every single, well, not day. That's ridiculous.
No, that would be weird. So shitty.
Can you imagine? Here's a quick fact. A Carl Jr. / Hardee's Western Bacon Cheeseburger is sold every 1.13 seconds.
Oh, wow.
That's a Munch Squad quick fact for you. About once a second, they sell one of these bad boys. They did some fries about it. You can Google it. This isn't about them. This is about Earl of Sandwich, a fast casual restaurant franchise. That was a wild way of saying that. I'll never be able to say that again. Franchise. Co-founded by...
What?
Co-founded by a direct descendant of the actual Earl of Sandwich.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah.
It's in his blood.
This restaurant, this new restaurant, is a part of the more than 5-acre Fast Eddie's campus on Eagle Road, which already includes a Chevron gas station, a convenience store, a car wash, and a lube shop. The entire complex is owned and operated by local entrepreneurs Steve and Tracy Eddy, who previously built and sold a chain of fuel and convenience stores in the Treasure Valley. This is in Idaho, by the way. If none of this makes sense to you, it's because it's like it's all in Idaho. Here's a quote. We wanted to find a restaurant concept unlike any other in the area, and Earl of Sandwich fit the bill. Earl of Sandwich appeals to the modern consumer, those who believe that sandwiches are more than a convenience food.
Oh.
They should be carefully crafted and thoroughly enjoyed.
We and what?
Said Steve. Thoroughly enjoyed. We are thrilled, okay. We're thrilled to add Earl of Sandwich to our facility and are confident it will become the sandwich of choice for everyone in the community.
Hey, so just so I can get this hunk of shit straight, they said they wanted to think of an idea that no one had ever done and like, oh, we're revolutionizing the idea of quick service restaurants. So we went with sandwiches.
Sandwiches made by a fucking king, Travis. Sandwiches made by literal, actual royalty.
I've eaten at Lord Quiznos.
This is one of the wildest paragraphs in the Munch Squad history. The Earl of Sandwich concept revolves around the story of John Montague, the 4th Earl of Sandwich. He was a British nobleman, an avid gambler, who, not wanting to leave the card table to eat, asked for a serving of roast beef to be placed between two slices of bread so he could eat with his hands. Thus, the sandwich was born in 1762. Some 242 years later, Lord John Montague, the 11th Earl of Sandwich and direct descendant of the inventor of the sandwich, partnered with Robert Earl, not an Earl, but Robert Earl.
Robert Earl of Sandwich.
Earl, who is the founder and CEO of Planet Hollywood.
What?
To reclaim and reinvent the greatest of all quick food. So you think for like 242 years, everyone in this dude's fucking family is like, can we not talk about sandwiches? We did it one time. We made up a snack and that's our whole fucking thing.
Yes.
And then
don't
this guy's
the
like
Lord of Cheetos.
But this guy was like, maybe we're going to go ahead and just capitalize on this because it seems to be the best thing that we got going.
I think the play here, you open this one in Idaho. It's not very successful, but you have a claim to the yeasted throne in the sense that fucking you invented the sandwich. So sorry, Subway. Sorry, Quiznos. Sorry, Jimmy John. Your ass is mine now. There's no more sandwiches for you because I made them. Well, my great-great-granddaddy made them. But still, that's copyright infringement, I think.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. Nobody else can make sandwiches. You can't call them this anymore. Bread boats.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They'd find some way, wouldn't they? Subway would be like, we're serving them in between two butt cheeks. Get on over to Subway now, baby.
Do you think that when...
Do you eat ass? It's a $5 ass. Come on, $5 foot ass. Get in it.
Do you think when John Montague showed up at this chain...
Lord John Montague?
Lord John Montague, the 11th Earl of Sandwich, showed up at this chain. He was like, uh-huh, good, good. The Earl's Club, I love that. The original 1762 with roasted beef. They say roasted beef. Fuck off. French dip, very good. The holiday turkey. Does this one have cornbread stuffing on it? Excellent. A delicious sandwich. You've done my family pr- Wait. Wait a minute. Is that a quinoa chicken salad? a salad with, what is this, quinoa? I think it's quinoa. It's a salad, just a regular, and he just starts flipping like bowls of salad out of the ground. What's this over here? Pepperoni pizza bread? Macaroni and cheese? No, get it all out.
It
all
is not betwixt two slices. I cannot eat it with my hands.
Chips of potatoes. Out.
Maybe perhaps the chipped potatoes represent two slices of bread.
This potato salad claims to be salad, but it has no bearing. I'm just saying this all looks really good, and I'm pretty hungry right now.
I did kind of like that holiday turkey with the cornbread stuff.
Yeah, that sounds promising.
This all looks really good.
How about a Yahoo?
Yep.
This one was sent in by also by Graham Roebuck. Thank you, Graham. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user. I'm going to call Beverly asks, how can I talk my dad into letting me have a 175-gallon aquarium? Mm. I don't know how big that is. You know how when you're a kid, you had like a gallon of water and you like poured it into the like a pool or a bathtub and it was fucking nothing? Like, I don't know how big 175 gallons is.
Can you guys, can we Google it?
No, I feel like
that's important.
Because
you don't want to do that.
To Griffin's point, if I picture 175-gallon jugs of water, I would look at it and be like, wow, that's a lot of water, right? But
I
do have a strong suspicion that if you showed me one container that could contain 175 gallons, I'd be like, that's not nearly as big as I thought it would be.
I'll tell you, boys. I'll tell you. 175 liquid gallons is 23.3941 cubic feet. Now, how fucking big is that?
I don't know how big that is.
I don't know how big that is.
I just Googled it. It's 100% coffin-sized. Exactly. Perfect. On the nose. This is coffin size.
Okay.
Man, and even auto-filled. As I typed it out in Google, I typed 175 space G, and it was like Allen fish tank.
So this is a big, well, it depends. I've seen bigger fish tanks. At the aquarium, they have the one that's just like bigger than my freaking house, man.
Not for home use, you haven't. You have not seen one for home use that's bigger than this bad boy.
I guess it's a pretty big one.
This feels like something that you would need to have at a restaurant so kids could look at it while you waited
for your
chair.
Or alternatively, this is how we're trying to convince the dad, right? Yes. We're trying to get daddy on board. So to get daddy on board, you can say, yeah, it's a big fish tank, but we keep fresh seafood in there. And then you, every day, can be like, that one. Every day.
I'll eat this one.
Also, think of how versatile it is. Yes, you can put fish in it, of course. Yes, you could also perhaps put a reptile in there, maybe even an amphibian. But you could also store your clothes in it. You could keep all your loose change in it. You could just buy a whole bunch of boxes of cereal and dump it all in there with milk and have it be like a big cereal trough for a party.
Oh, yes, that's cool.
You, You could fill it up with mustard and a single flag and let Double Dare kids rummage around in there.
Yes. There's so many things. Like, think about, tell your dad this. Say, Dad, think about all the stupid shit you've bought that only does one thing and it was really expensive.
You dumb asshole.
Right. You dumb like, piece of shit.
Like your pacemaker.
Right. And what do you even do with it? You know? I can't even play with it.
It doesn't even do Tamagotchis.
But I could fill this fish tank with Tamagotchis, Dad. Just try to
stop
me.
Think about that, Dad.
I could sleep in this fish tank.
I'm going to sleep in my fish tank, Dad. This is, you're not just buying me a fish tank. You're buying me a new bed.
Come on, Dad. Grow up. Get a fish tank, finally.
I think climbing inside the aquarium and refusing to come out is one way to make your dad buy it.
That's a good way to make your dad buy anything.
You're in the aquarium store, and you're like, I want this one. And he says, that is 175 too many gallons. And then you say, oh, okay. And you climb inside, and then you say, checkmate, because he's got to buy it. You're in it.
No, he's got to buy it. His son's in it.
He can't just leave you there. That's against the rules.
Now, it is important. You can never get out of it, because when you do, he'll immediately return it.
No, he won't. It's a 175 fucking gallon fish tank. Are you kidding? Like, he's going to want to get that outside of his house again? It's going to be tough enough to do it with, a big boy inside of it.
Okay, well, then let's say you can't get out of it until he's gotten it home.
Yeah.
Can you find a mattress that would fit it?
Probably.
Because then it would be, like, kind of a fun, like, bed, novelty bed. And you could just every night you take the water out. No, that's a bad idea.
No, keep going. Now that I'm running through all the P's and Q's. What?
No, you just dump all the water out, put the fish in a jug. You put your mattress in there. You sleep in there.
Uh-huh.
That's space saving. It's a value. It's not a good idea.
You could get this and say, Daddy, let's just put one little fish in it. And think of what a great treat that will be for him. Uh-huh. Daddy, I want to get this big one so we can put one fish inside. And that fish is going to be so lucky. And don't we owe it to the earth to do that for... It's all, you can't save the world by yourself, but you can make a good situation for just one fish.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Alternatively, you could open up a fish fighting ring in your house and say, Daddy, we'll get 10% of the pot every time. So,
okay.
Now you think about it.
Your dad says he won't get you a 175 gallon tank. Okay, Dad, you win this one. Will you get me a 10 gallon tank?
Ooh.
Well, yeah, of course. It's no problem. And then a few weeks later, just say like, hey, Dad, I need a 10 gallon fish tank. That's still really, you said it was fine, right? That's fine. Your dad's like, yeah, it's fine. Go ahead. Repeat 17 and a half times.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you've got 10. No, wait. You've got 17 and a half 10 gallon fish tanks, and your dad feels like an asshole because he's paying for all these like pumps and decorations and things. He could save a lot of dough just doing it the right way the first time. If you do the job the right way the first time,
And he's had to take it to the hospital a few times because of how you've tried to smash all these fish tanks together to make one big fish tank, and there's been cuts.
Your dad feels like the jerk.
Who's someone your dad respects? Absolutely, entirely, completely.
Mr. Bean.
You say...
Oh, wait. Were you talking about my dad?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy's dad.
Our dad. If your dad is our dad, then you go to the aquarium store with your dad, and you just kind of almost say, like, offhandedly, like, oh, yeah, I heard Mr. Bean talking about on Entertainment Tonight that if you're going to get a fish tank, the only fish tank you want to get is a 175-gallon fish tank.
Yeah, my dad, Dad, I heard this is the kind of tank that Travis Tritt owns.
There you go.
There it is.
Travis Tritt owns this exact model.
Fuck it, man. Get Travis Tritt to just, like, walk by you, behind you. Look at, that's a badass fish tank,
that's
man.
That's a great tank right there.
No, that's a good tank. That's a good tank for a great price.
And I want to thank you again for shopping Travis Tritt's aquariums and more. Y'all, come on back anytime. You're welcome. And nobody's going to give you a better deal than Travis.
Hey, shopping at Tritt it and quit it. grab yourself a fish tank and then get on out.
Tritt tanks.
I'd fill that shit up with mustard, I would. I often do.
And let some kids double down around in there.
Double dare.
It's always a great day to be alive here at Travis Tritt's aquariums and stuff.
Okay, anyways, please move on.
Travis Tritt's fish and shits.
Yeah. Hey, folks, this is Travis Tripp for Travis Tripp's Fish and Shits. I just want to remind you that we are working every day to obtain the license that we need to sell fish directly to you, the consumer. We're just weeks to months away. Our lawyers assure us from getting those special permits that will allow us to sell the finest quality fish at the finest quality prices.
And please, please do not confuse this location with Travis Tripp's Fish and Chips. That is across town. Both are mine, and both were poorly planned. Thank you.
Now, weirdly,
I work at one during the morning and one during the night, and I won't answer any more questions about that. That's getting personal, folks. And yes, I still find time to make music. Don't be an asshole about it.
And I balance work and family. Okay, can we please move on? Ask me about my love of fish, both retail and dining.
Everyone wants to know about the fish. Nobody asked me about the and shits. That's fine. I got CD players in here, too, but that's fine. I guess you just want to talk about fish.
I got bags of Gatorade brand gum. It's been inspired for 5 years. Nobody asked me about it.
Yeah, let's talk about these fucking stupid fish, I guess.
Tim Conway passed. I would love to talk about this complete set of dwarf VHF tapes that I got, but I can't sell them.
I guess I can't.
Everybody wants to talk about the fish that I can't legally sell.
God's wettest and worst animal.
God, I hate fish.
What have I done?
I should have thought this through.
How about one last question?
Recently, a friend and I popped into a liquor store on our way to do some thrift shopping. Once inside, we noticed that they had a wine-tasting table, and we decided to spend a few extra minutes tasting some vine. And that's when we noticed the number 7 on the table and looked around to see at least 6 other wine-tasting tables scattered around the store. Y'all, each table had 6 wines available to sample, and everything else is free. My question is, what is the appropriate etiquette here? What, are we supposed to drink 42 wine samples? Or is there a more strategic and classy way to handle this offering? That's from Merlot's of Options.
What would you do, Griffin?
What I would do?
Yeah.
I would go around, I would smell all 42 of these little cups, and I mean huff them deep. And on the 42nd one, I accidentally snort some up my nose, and I would start coughing and have to leave because I got embarrassed.
Okay, that's what Griffin would do. Justin, what would you do?
Let me say, that's not what I want to do.
That's just what would happen.
That's just what happened.
If I went, I would want to drink all of them because they were there. But then I would assume that I'd pick the first one up and another, like maybe a human being who worked there or a human being who knew the process better than me would say out loud, that's not what you're supposed to do. And I would melt into the floor.
Yeah, like Alex Mack, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I love one. I think maybe just pick one of the different varietals that you want to try, like just the cabs, and then just sample the cabs. And everyone will understand that. Say, I'm just looking for high test cabs.
Oh, yeah.
Just your best cabs. And then once you've tried them all, maybe you're kind of like, hey, listen, I've been thinking a lot about it. I think I'm more of a Chardonnay man now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to try your shards, see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you could just go brand by brand, varietal by varietal.
That's cool, yeah. And then you can step outside and shit your pants. And I don't know that we should necessarily endorse that course of action.
No, I don't think binge drinking is a good... Do you see anything that's vaguely bucket-shaped? Is there anything that looks like a bucket? Because that's supposed to be spit in that.
Yeah.
Supposed to be spit in that. You're not supposed to be getting a day drunk going at the liquor store, I'm pretty sure.
I think you're supposed to, if you don't drink the right one, you turn old and turn into ash and bones and stuff.
Yes, that's probably true.
So that's important. You're going to have to mix 4 of them to solve a riddle. Like, Phil,
yeah, you're trying to, you got a 5-gallon jug, and
right,
a 3-gallon
yes,
jug.
Yes.
And a 175-gallon fish tank.
I mean, I would just go to the back of the store and grab a sixer of Bud and say, like, this is my wine. And then I'd walk out of the store without paying.
I think maybe if I owned this liquor store, I would set this up with like 42 free samples of wine. And when someone walked through, I would be like, yes, it's all free and it's 42 samples of wine. One of the 42 is poisoned.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
Okay, but then statistically, if you want
less than nothing, that one.
If you want that a bunch of free wine, cool. Listen, that's fine. But you have to ask me about each one before you drink it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So if you don't ask about the one that's poison, then you're the asshole.
They'll tell you. Right. You could test all of them and be like, okay, I found my favorite one. And then fucking like Ellen comes out and she's like, this is a big social prank. They're all the same wine. And this is proof about how fucking fake America is. And then you're like, Ellen, your brand has changed a little bit. Maybe Griffin should have thought of somebody else. And she's like, I know it's strange for me to put America and sort of their habits and beliefs on blast, but everybody's got their noses in their phones all the time, and everybody's taking pictures of their food on Instagram, and all this wine is the same. So now you're a dumb idiot, and
I'm going to dance.
I'm going to dance on out of the store, and you have to watch me.
I'm
going to
dance and pray for the destruction of America, which is a garbage country that I hate now. Thank you for me, Ellen. I'm going to pray for your downfall. Your gods have become dust under me, Ellen.
Also, Jennifer Lawrence is in this box. She's going to jump out and scare you, but why even bother?
Why even fucking bother?
Stay in there, Jennifer.
America was a mistake. I'm Ellen DeGeneres. It's time to dance.
Happy Independence Day, everybody. This is...
The worm-filled carcass of liberty. This is my next guest and your guest for your and your grandchildren's lives.
Anyways, here's a kid who can yodel or whatever the fuck.
Here's a kid who can yodel about the downfall of imperialism.
And once anyway, our musical guest is, once again, for the 70th time in a row, it's Rise Against. Get out here, guys.
This has been My Brother Me. It's an advice show for the modern era. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We have a website. By the way, if you want to keep up on everything related to our family, you can go to McElroy.family. It's a website we made in partnership with Vox Media. You can see new episodes of our podcast, new merchandise. All of it is all there waiting for you. Bean juice mugs, they're there.
Oh, yeah.
Merchandise, you got it. Tours, yeah, they're listed there. McElroy.family is your one-stop shop pop. That's for my dad.
Oh, okay. Also, speaking of tours, just want to say thank you to everybody who came out for Cincinnati and Cleveland. They were both a hell of a show. We had a great time.
Wow.
What?
They were both great. We slayed is what you're...
No. The audience was great. We were mediocre. But the audience was great. And now we're very excited. Next is Indianapolis and Nashville. And I think there's some tickets left for that. McElroy.family. Click on tours.
Yeah, come on out. I want to say thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a very good album, very good song, very good person, very good time that you're going to have listening to it. And also thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great shows there. Shows like Switchblade Sisters and Story Break and Beef and Dairy Network and a whole lot more, all at MaximumFun.org.
It's time for a last question. Griffin, do you have one for me?
Sure, I got one here. It was sent in by Sid. Thank you, Sid. It's an anonymous Yancers user. Yancers is a really powerful name for this. I like Yancers a lot. So this is sent in by Yancers user. Well, they're anonymous, so I'm going to call them Gregorins asks Yahoo. It says that.
Ooh.
Yahoo. If some tell me there is a new moon, what happened to the previous moon?
Oh. Whoa. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married.
to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.